right now on VFN TV, a tragedy in Las Vegas, Nevada, where a gunman fires shots down on a concert taking place. We're going to look at that. We're also going to look at the biblical principles, what's happening right now in the world. Then the tragic hurricane that took place in Puerto Rico that literally destroyed the entire island almost, all of its infrastructure. And we'll also go how there was an ambush that took place at the United Nations. That's right, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
When Time Magazine will have no choice but to say what I want them to say. Newsweek, what I want to say. The View, what I want to say.
Let's just all hope that Donald Trump is a good president of the United States. He's our president, and we need this country to be one run well.
For the Spirit of God says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way.
We've achieved a record reduction in illegal immigration. Did you see at the southern border? 75%.
It shall come to pass that the man that I place in the highest office shall go in whispering my name. But God said when he enters into the office, he will be shouting out by the power of the Spirit, but I shall fill him with my Spirit when he goes into office, and there will be a praying man in the highest seat in your land.
Well, Donald Trump has expressed to the committee, the faith-based committee that he has expanded on, that when he, by the time he leaves office, he wants to be remembered as the most praying president in history.
We invite all Americans to join us as we continue to pray for those who have lost family members and friends, and for those who are suffering from this great crisis. We're going to be signing a day of prayer.
Mr. President, I think it goes without saying that in a moment like this, we all come together as Americans. We all bow to Almighty God. We ask for his grace and his mercy over those who are affected. And most of all, Mr. President, we thank you for acknowledging that ultimately it is God who is the source of our unity as Americans. And I thank you for issuing this proclamation.
Thank you.
It's been called the most evangelical cabinet in history. Men and women who don't mince words when it comes to where they stand on God and the Bible.
Has this been done before in a cabinet formally?
I don't think there's been a cabinet Bible study in America in at least 100 years.
It is time for you to receive the knowledge of the glory working in you and through you, so that everywhere you go, you walk with the glory of God because you are the glory of God.
You know, the last day's language of the Holy Spirit is dreams. He said, well, it was just a dream. What do you mean, just a dream? Who knows what angels had to fight through to break into your world? To give you their thoughts and you just say, it's just a dream. I think the church needs to stop saying, it's just a dream.
If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Tragedy has struck in Las Vegas, Nevada. John Paul Jackson prophesied about these days would come. We're going to have that prophecy in just a moment. But first, let's go see the tragedy that's taking place in Las Vegas, Nevada. Imagine being at a concert and you're there and somebody's playing music and you're just in that moment. But over a half a mile approximately away from you, somebody has several high-powered rifles and they start firing rounds almost over a half a mile away. And so you have this loud music happening at the same time you're hearing gunshots going off. Well, that's what happened. They didn't realize that they were being shot at, and over 58 people were murdered and 400 plus people were injured in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's take a look.
This morning, Las Vegas is on lockdown after a gunman opened fire at a popular outdoor country music festival. An It happened just moments after country music superstar Jason Aldean took the stage at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival. Machine gun fire, possibly from an automatic weapon, erupting into a crowd of thousands of fans. At first, witnesses say they thought it was a fireworks show. But when the rapid gunfire continued to spray the crowd,
Get down.
Confusion quickly turned to panic. Terrified concertgoers running for their lives, others diving for cover, some laying on top of each other for safety. By some accounts, the bullets raining down for more than an hour.
And they cut the music and everyone said drop, and everyone dropped. And then everyone just got up and they said run, and everyone started stampeding and charging and knocking over grills, jumping over fences, getting out. We tried to run this way and the same thing happened, and then we just hid in a bush for like an hour.
Police SWAT teams tracked the shooter to the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, where officers used explosives to break into his room. Police shot and killed the suspect. Law enforcement sources tell NBC News the alleged gunman has been identified as 64-year-old Stephen Paddock.
It's just a tragedy. It is just, as a matter of fact, historically, it's the greatest number outside the Civil War, I believe, that the people's lives that have been taken. This is just a tragedy what's taking place. But you know what has been told to us? That this is going to increase over time, these tragedies, hurricanes. We'll be talking about a hurricane that went through Puerto Rico and did the damage, almost destroyed the entire island, and other issues that have been taking place with these storms and earthquakes and all this taking place like in Mexico. What's going on? Well, it makes me think about what John Paul Jackson said. He said, these things, we're going to cry out. We're going to turn. We're going to get saved. You know, the nation's going to be saved, because the fact is that he's going to shake everything or allow it to be shaken until finally we look up and cry out to him. As a matter of fact, this is what John Paul Jackson said when he asked the Lord, why are these things going to continue to happen? Because God showed him prophetically all these things that we're seeing take place today. And look what God told him. Let's take a look.
He said, my people are going to cry out to me. I said, when? And he says, it will keep getting darker until they do. It will keep getting darker until they do.
I'm ready for this to stop. Aren't you ready for it to stop? We as a nation have to turn back to God. We have leaders that are having the first Bible study, the first one in 100 years in the White House cabinet. We have a president that's being said, I want to be known as the most praying president in the history of presidents. God prophesied through Kim Clement that this man would be there, and this is exactly what would happen. But we as a nation have to turn back to God, the church. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, our wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. It's the church, it's the people who proclaim to be followers of Jesus Christ that turns this nation around. Speaking of a man of prayer, remember Kim Clement prophesied, you heard at the beginning of this program, that the president that gets into office would be this particular president and that he would be known as the most praying president. Well, guess what he did? Immediately he wanted to pray over all the tragedy that took place, you know, in Las Vegas, Nevada, and to comfort the families. Let's go to the White House now, President Donald Trump.
Thank you. My fellow Americans, we are joined together today in sadness, shock, and grief. Last night, a gunman opened fire on a large crowd at a country music concert in Las Vegas, Nevada. He brutally murdered more than 50 people and wounded hundreds more. It was an act of pure evil. The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security are working closely with local authorities to assist with the investigation, and they will provide updates as to the investigation and how it develops. I want to thank the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and all of the first responders for their courageous efforts and for helping to save the lives of so many. The speed with which they acted is miraculous, and prevented further loss of life. To have found the shooter so quickly after the first shots were fired is something for which we will always be thankful and grateful. It shows what true professionalism is all about. Hundreds of our fellow citizens are now mourning the sudden loss of a loved one, a parent, a child, a brother or sister. We cannot fathom their pain. We cannot imagine their loss. To the families of the victims, we are praying for you, and we are here for you. And we ask God to help see you through this very dark period. Scripture teaches us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We seek comfort in those words, for we know that God lives in the hearts of those who grieve. To the wounded who are now recovering in hospitals, we are praying for your full and speedy recovery and pledge to you our support from this day forward. In memory of the fallen, I have directed that our great flag be flown at half staff. I will be visiting Las Vegas on Wednesday to meet with law enforcement, first responders, and the families of the victims. In moments of tragedy and horror, America comes together as one, and it always has. We call upon the bonds that unite us, our faith, our family, and our shared values. We call upon the bonds of citizenship, the ties of community, and the comfort of our common humanity. Our unity cannot be shattered by evil. Our bonds cannot be broken by violence. And though we feel such great anger at the senseless murder of our fellow citizens, it is our love that defines us today and always will, forever. In times such as these, I know we are searching for some kind of meaning in the chaos, some kind of light in the darkness. The answers do not come easy. But we can take solace knowing that even the darkest space can be brightened by a single light, and even the most terrible despair can be illuminated by a single ray of hope. Melania and I are praying for every American who has been hurt, wounded, or lost the ones they love so dearly in this terrible, terrible attack. We pray for the entire nation to find unity and peace, and we pray for the day when evil is banished and the innocent are safe from hatred and from fear. May God bless the souls of the lives that are lost. May God give us the grace of healing, and may God provide the grieving families with strength to carry on. Thank you. God bless America. Thank you.
Our hearts go out. Listen, I want you to connect. I want to tell you about a couple. This couple's name, they've been married for a year, Sonny and Heather Melton. You're seeing their picture right now. They happened to be at this concert. They were listening to these different musicians come in. And the reports are, when the bullets started coming, that her husband, Sonny, climbed on top of her and covered her up, and he took the bullet himself, and he gave the ultimate price for his wife, Heather. Where all of a sudden, you know, she lost her husband, but yet he saved his wife. This is, folks, we got to pray for those that have been through this great tragedy, like Heather and like Sonny and so many others. 58 so far. The number's even possibly going up for those that have been injured and been murdered by this man with this rifle, and over 400 plus are injured through hospitals in the area. And our just hearts go out to them. I want you to remember Heather and all the other ones that were without their son, their husband, their wife, their daughter, their father, their mother. This is a great tragedy that has hit. Now, the sheriff of Las Vegas, he set up a GoFundMe page. And when it was last reported, over $1.2 million have come in to be able to help the families of these victims. They're all of a sudden, you got to fly to Vegas to be able to pick up your children, to be there with identify your own son or daughter, you know, and this money is going. You can see the GoFundMe page right here on the screen. You know, maybe you want to give. I mean, our Father God's watching this. What are we going to do? What kind of compassion are we going to have as a people to be able to help support? And what they're doing is getting hotel rooms for them. They're helping them travel. They're getting them in. I mean, it's like 20,000 folks were at this concert. Over 400 plus are injured, and over 58 have died, were murdered by this evil, evil act by this particular man. And our hearts go out. There are so many heroes, just like Sonny. One of the particular heroes is just like Sonny, was an officer that was off duty, and he gave his life. You know, I spent 10 years in law enforcement myself, and there's something about that you're trained up as a law enforcement officer to be there for folks. And guess what? Even though he was there at the concert, it immediately kicked in, according to the sheriff, and he said he gave his own life to make sure that others were saved. And the sheriff's department came from everywhere to be able to they said they were all over the place to be able to protect them. It was like minutes almost before they located the shooter and were in his room in the hotel up on the 26th floor, something of that nature. And they secured him. It was amazing what they did. I mean, we got to give a big shout out and thank God for those law enforcement officers that stopped this great tragedy taking place, that were there for them. All the EMS rescue, they said this one particular officer, I think it was the sheriff, saying that he has been in law enforcement for 30 years. He's never seen that many ambulances ever in the history of his career, because ambulances were coming from everywhere. This is a tragedy. This is like a historical tragedy in our nation, and we got to begin to pray and ask God for this to stop. You know, when you heard what John Paul Jackson said, God told him, because he's seeing these tragedies. He's going, when is this going to stop? And he says, when we cry out. And we have to think about that. What does crying out mean? Does crying out mean when we just go, God, I'm sorry? Or do we go, oh, this is bad? Or is it because we're hurting? Or is crying out going, God, we know you're in total control, that you can stop all this. And no matter what evil plots are going on, if we turn our hearts to you, you will deal with the evildoer. But God literally told me, he said, listen, when I'm in this particular vision that God's given me, this night vision, and he showed me, he said, listen, the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. I mean, God wants to bring down the evildoer, but we have to begin to cry out and turn our hearts to him. Justice has come. As a matter of fact, on this program, we'll be talking about this one vision the Lord gave me, this night vision, showing me that he's going to go back and deal with injustices that have taken place. He knows them completely, and he's going to deal with them, and they're going to go to his courts, and he's going to deal with these injustices that's taking place. We serve an awesome God, a merciful God. He's so just. When I found out about his justice, it drove me to the cross and like, Lord, I want forgive me for my sin. I want to be forgiven. And that's what happened. The justice that was coming upon me, Jesus took it for me. That's how awesome Jesus is, because the justice that's supposed to come down on us, God had to serve it, but he served it on his son instead. I'd rather make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life and let the justice of God be served there, because he's alive. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he lived as we lived, yet without sin, to pay the price so the justice of God could be served on his own son. And justice is coming. I mean, God has shown me justice is coming. And I want to encourage you. You know, we're going to be talking about what the tragedy that's taking place in Puerto Rico, but I'm ready for this stuff to stop. You know, I don't want to see people hungry like this and crying out because of floods and thirst and food and the floods that took place in Houston and Texas and Louisiana and the hurricane, the tragedy that took place, Irma in Florida, and then the Virgin Islands and the earthquakes in Mexico, and then we showed you all over the earth are happening. Well, guess what? Our God is in complete control, and we could cry out to him and these things will stop. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to go right straight looking at Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico needs our prayers. They need our support. We need to connect them with Operation Blessing. We'll be showing you what Operation Blessing's doing. But also our president, President Donald Trump, he's sending in the forces. He's got Marines. He's got ships. He's got military helicopters. It's an amazing thing our president's doing to make sure the people of Puerto Rico, which are American people in a territory, it's not a state, but those are our American citizens that are there rescuing them. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFM. BFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
17 years ago, I walked onto that mall with the first call DC. I'll never forget the thousands of kids that were there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, 17 years later, I almost feel it's an unfolding fulfillment of what we dreamed about then.
Never before has there ever been 50 tents on the National Mall with hundreds of musicians.
When David became king, a procession of all the tribes gathered. How many thousands?
The first thing that he did was bring the Ark of the Presence of God into the city, and he put it in a tent for 30 years. Imagine if in Washington, D.C., there was a tent city for 3 days where the song and the sound of the Lord filled our nation, and it went viral.
This has never been done before in American history. Woodstock had his day, but this is day and night.
This is everybody bringing their song, everybody bringing their prayer, everybody coming together in one heart to declare it's a new day. It's time to awaken the dawn.
It's time for the procession of God into this nation.
Come on.
Welcome back. John, was that not a tragedy, or what this took place in Las Vegas, Nevada, where, you know, it's just historical. We've seen so many bad things happen so close together that people start thinking, especially this generation, that this is normal.
Yeah, or is it real?
Right.
Now, this is real. These are real lives. It's a massacre.
But life wasn't like this. This is an escalation of difficult times and tragedy, and things are taking place.
Just one thing after the other.
You know, our previous president said, this is the new normal.
Hmm.
And by God's grace, we're going to get back to that not being normal anymore. Because under his administration was beheadings, Christians being persecuted, golf games in the midst of all that. It was things we were having to show on BFN TV. We didn't want to do it. But if we don't look at what's going on, I think about James Foley and the things that happened. Anyway, so, you know, you think that's bad enough, but of course we still have the tragedy that took place in Puerto Rico.
Mm.
And our hearts break, and you might not know this, you need to know this, that Puerto Rico is not a state, it's a territory. Everybody that's a citizen in Puerto Rico, they're a citizen of America. They're American citizens. It's called a territory. And a lot of history to that, and we could probably put that up on the VFN torch, but either way, even if it wasn't even American citizens, we need to be there to help them out. But they're our citizens.
Yeah,
this is their country. And so we need to be there helping them out. But first, let's just take a look at the devastation and tragedy that took place in Puerto Rico.
This is Puerto Rico on a calm night in July 2017. Here it is again after Hurricane Maria in September. The storm's impact has been catastrophic. It was at its strongest when it was passing over the most populated parts of the island, which is home to about 3.4 million people. It knocked off Puerto Rico's power grid, and now it'll be months before most of the island has electricity again. And what's made recovery particularly hard is that the government has no money. That's partly because of its complex relationship with the U.S. mainland. Puerto Rico became a U.S. Commonwealth in 1952. But nearly half of all Americans don't know that people born in Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens. The island's economic downturn can be traced back to the 1960s and 70s, when a special tax break from Congress led U.S. companies to set up shop in Puerto Rico. Then, between 1993 and 2006, Congress phased out those tax breaks, and companies left the island in droves, taking thousands of jobs with them. Economic growth slowed to a crawl, and hordes of people started leaving the island. The number of Puerto Ricans living in the U.S. mainland doubled between 2005 and 2015. And as the tax base shrank, Puerto Rico went into massive debt to pay its bills. Today, it owes more than $70 billion, mostly to Wall Street creditors. In May of 2017, the island filed for protection similar to bankruptcy. Budgets for hospitals, schools, and roads were slashed. Another U.S. policy that led to Puerto Rico's economic turmoil is the Merchant Marine Act of 1920, or the Jones Act. It places huge tariffs on any foreign imports. Although President Trump suspended the Jones Act in the wake of Hurricane Maria, those costs have been passed down to Puerto Ricans for decades. Since Puerto Rico imports 84% of its food, people there often pay double what they would on the mainland for basic necessities. The high cost of living is one of the reasons 43% of residents live in poverty. Crucially, the island's financial woes have kept it from investing in the kind of modern, automated power plant technology that's characteristic of the mainland U.S., and that's going to make recovery difficult. Most power plants on the mainland rely on natural gas, with some coal, nuclear, and renewables. But Puerto Rico's old-fashioned plants still generate two-thirds of their power from burning oil, and all that oil has to be imported. In the aftermath of Hurricane Maria, the power plants are mostly intact, but nearly 80% of the transmission lines that carry power are down, and so are the roads that bring oil to the power plants. While the island's power plants are on the southern coast, most people live in the north, and between those two sit dense forests and mountains. Apart from the challenging terrain, Puerto Rico's electric utility company, PREPA, relies heavily on workers with extensive knowledge, and those workers have been leaving. Since 2012, 30% of PREPA's employees have retired or left for the mainland in search of better jobs. Electrical engineers from Puerto Rico can make about 27% more money on the U.S. mainland. According to its director, PREPA is on the verge of collapse because there's no personnel to operate it. And that was before the storm. Without technicians to repair all of these broken transmission lines, Puerto Ricans are expected to be without power for months, and the consequences could be dire. Without electricity to pump water into homes, it's difficult to find clean water for drinking and bathing. No air conditioning or fans can mean increased risk of heat stroke. And without refrigeration to keep insulin and other drugs from expiring, people are at risk of death. All of this means that millions of U.S. citizens, for the foreseeable future, will be living in conditions that we usually associate with places very far away.
That is such a tragedy, and I'm just so grateful, because when we get back from this break, we're going to see what President Trump is doing in Puerto Rico. He's bringing the health, the wealth, and the force of the nation to help our nation's citizens in Puerto Rico. Make sure you join us after the break. And also, I want to be able to send you this. Here's the details right now.
Offer 2041, Waiting on the Lord, Understanding Your Journey to Your Destiny in God. When God lets you in on His plans, relax and enjoy the ride. This message will bring you personal insight and wisdom along with the heavenly perspective of your life and God's plans. Joseph was a young man when God shared with him His plans, but there was a journey that he had to go on to arrive at God's amazing plans. That journey is what we all must go on, which is referred to as waiting on the Lord. Many people see waiting on the Lord as sitting there and waiting for God to force His plans into their life. And they're always being disappointed because that's not how God works in our life. The Lord has great plans for each of us, and He knows that we need to be prepared for those plans. It's on that journey that we learn to wait for His plans to manifest in our lives. Maybe you've been given a dream or a prophetic word from the Lord that declares great things, but you presently see no signs of that word in your life. If so, this message is just for you. For those who have become impatient or who have given up because of what has happened in their life, thinking that God's promise is never going to take place in their life, if so, this is for you. Everyone who watches this message will be encouraged, as all who heard it the day it was taught were also encouraged. We want to send you this offer for a free gift of any amount. Or you can become a partner by going to bfntv.com and clicking on Partner Now. You can also write to us at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2041, Waiting on the Lord, Understanding Your Journey to Your Destiny in God.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What's up, y'all? I'm Sadie Robertson, and I encourage every single one of you to bring your Bible to school on October the 5th. Too legit to quit.
It's very difficult to forgive your enemies, and it's even harder when they happen to be your parents.
Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
When we're kids, our needs and feelings are so intense that the wounds and injuries suffered during those early years often stay with us for a lifetime. And the pain is immeasurably worse when the one who has wronged us was a parent. Maybe a mother rejected us and tore us down instead of giving us the love and compassion that we needed. Maybe a father was alcoholic or abusive. Many people find that even 20 or 30 years later, the resentment and anger are still very much alive in their minds. They want to let it go, but they have a hard time accepting the simple truth. The only way to get free of that kind of bitterness is to forgive. It's much easier to talk about than to accomplish, of course. But those who can't forgive, those who feel they have a right to hate, and therefore they do so, are the ones that suffer. That kind of unresolved anger burns up everything it touches. Perhaps that's why Dr. Arch Hart said, "Forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me." When we find the emotional maturity to release those who have wronged us, that's when the hurts finally start to heal.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
The powerful treatment that Jesus gives to this whole issue of the nature of man and sin is felt more and more in our world today than ever before. The 20th century has been the most bloodletting century in history, and we are supposedly in the age of progress. I think of the hurts around the world. I think of the slaughter of infants and all the rights that we now claim to ourselves. One appointee of President Clinton described the world as 1,000 points of darkness. How are we going to change this? How are we going to change this? Please believe me, it'll never happen just because we institute new laws in any land. Unless we understand the nature of the human heart and the unique answer that Christ gives, we will never be able to change it.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Isn't it amazing, John, that, you know, the opposite of everything good that's taking place, a lot of these media outlets and political leaning, they're not even paying attention to what's taking place in our country. And they, you know, our president has been excellent.
They're looking for every item to manipulate, to push an agenda.
But people's lives weigh in the balance. Yeah. Why would they be so hateful? Why would the Democratic Party and people that want to hurt our country, this other media outlets, why would they be so hateful towards the people in Puerto Rico? They need to be for getting them aid. And they're saying that, listen, thank God for our president. President Donald Trump went there and he's there with the full forces of military, the lifeguards. As a matter of fact, this is a meeting he's holding with the governors and Congress and all that's there, Congress lady that's there. And I believe even Kelly's there, General Kelly's there. Mm. Generals are there. I mean, he has for 3.5 million folks that are on the island, and he's bringing aid to them. And let's just join them now. We want to see good leadership in place. This is a president who cared about the citizens in Houston and Texas and Louisiana. He cared about the citizens in Florida when Irma hit there, and he cares about our citizens in Puerto Rico. As a matter of fact, let's go there right now. This is President Trump meeting with all the leaders that are going to make recovery possible in Puerto Rico.
Well, thank you very much. It was a great trip and a beautiful place. I've been to Puerto Rico many times, as I think most of you have known, and I've always loved it, and your weather is second to none, but every once in a while you get hit. And you really got hit. There's no question about it. I want to thank, in particular, some of the folks that have come here where really great danger was involved right at the beginning. I have to start with Brock. Where's Brock? Brock Long has been through a lot. We gave him an A-plus in Texas. We thought he could rest for a couple of days. But before he got any rest, he had Florida, right? And you had Louisiana, and you had other places. But, and by the way, Louisiana, we don't say it often, But Louisiana got hit very hard also, and they've been fantastic. But then he came to Florida, and that we gave another A+, and then all of a sudden we said there's another one heading out to Puerto Rico and to the U.S. Virgin Islands. And but it wasn't one, it was two. And I was going to be here a week ago, if you remember, and that was the day of the hurricane. That was the day of the second hurricane. So Brock has been unbelievable. And this has been the toughest one. This has been a Category 5, which few people have ever even heard of. A Category 5 hitting land, but it hit land, and boy, did it hit land. So I want to thank you. I want to thank Elaine. Elaine, thank you very much. Fantastic. Acting Secretary. Elaine Duke has been incredible. Tom Bossert's here someplace. Tom, great job. Great job. And to all of my people, and I have to say General Buchanan got here a few days ago, and there's no doubt about it, you are a general. There's a reason you're a general, right? But he's no games. That's what I said, give me a general. I don't want to have a general that plays games. And you've done a fantastic job. The whole team has been amazing. Your governor has been, who I didn't know, I heard very good things about him. He's not even from my party. And he started right at the beginning appreciating what we did. And he was tremendously supportive. And he knew the level of problem that you had at the beginning before and the level what happened with respect to the tremendous storms that hit your beautiful island. And Governor, I just want to tell you that right from the beginning, this governor did not play politics. He didn't play it at all. He was saying it like it was, and he was giving us the highest grades. And I want to, on behalf of our country, I want to thank you. I also want to thank your congresswoman, who actually represents the largest number of people of any congressperson in the United States. I know that. It's 3.5 million people, Jennifer, right? So Congresswoman Jennifer Gonzalez Colon, who I've watched the other day, and she was saying such nice things about all of the people that have worked so hard. Jennifer, do you think you could say a little bit what you said about us today? And it's not about me. It's about these incredible people from the military to FEMA, the first responders. I mean, I've never seen people working so hard in my life. Perhaps you could say?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Congresswoman.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first thing is that before we were hit by Maria, we were hit by Hurricane Irma. And during that time, before the hurricane, he was FEMA acting together with a lot of employees. More than 4,000 people were here in the island for the different branches of the military, HHS, Navy, Army, FEMA, and all the staff working together before the hurricane hit. They were here before, during, after the first hurricane, and they continued to stay in the island, boots on the ground, during Maria. Same thing. I think we never got the level of communication between the federal government and the local government like never before. And we are in the path of the hurricanes. So we are used to receiving hurricanes, but never before a Category 5. The amount of devastation, it's unheard of. But during all this time, we got the federal government by our side, doing the job with the people here, like you in the military, doing all that has been asked, all the questions and requests that the governor did, the president and his cabinet accomplish it and send more people, and it's continued to send in more people, trucks, drivers, and resources. Thank you, Mr. President, for all you've been doing for the island.
Well, I want to thank you because you were really generous, and I saw those comments, and everybody saw those comments, and we really appreciate it. And you know, it's so important when you have men and women that have worked so hard and so long, and many of them came from two other catastrophic hurricanes. I mean, they came from Texas, they came from Louisiana, they came from Florida, and there was no, how many nights rest have you gotten? Zero in the last month, right?
This is day 43.
Yeah, all right, well, we're gonna keep them for another couple of weeks, and by that time, I think, you know, but we, come here. Special guy, I will tell you, special. Really good, really good. I also, in addition to Tom, I also want to thank Linda McMahon, small business. I always joke. I said she's in charge of small business, But small business is massive business when you add it all up. And she has done an incredible job, built a great company with her husband, Vince McMahon. And I wanted her so badly for this position because there's nobody that knows how to build a company like those. And let me tell you, like this woman, she has been amazing in business, and now she's doing an incredible job as the administrator. We want to thank you, Linda, very much. And Mick Mulvaney is here, right there, and Mick is in charge of a thing called budget. Now, I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives. If you look at the every death is a horror, but if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina, and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died, and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. And what is your death count as of this moment? 17?
16 certified.
16 people certified. 16 people versus in the thousands. You can be very proud of all of your people, all of our people working together. 16 versus literally thousands of people. You can be very proud. Everybody around this table and everybody watching can really be very proud of what's taken place in Puerto Rico. I also want to pay a very special thanks to the Navy. Who's here from the Navy? Who do we have, General? Who do we have? What a job. So you have ships all over the place. I saw them flying in. I said, boy, this looks like very big stuff. And the job you've done getting things here, there are no docks. There have been. We're just in the process of opening them up. They were just devastated. But there are no docks, no nothing. And the way you got this stuff on shore is incredible. So I want to thank the Navy. Would you like to say something on behalf of the Navy?
Sir, your Navy Marine Corps team is here to respond on the Expeditionary Strike Group 2. We're immediately deployed with four Navy ships to get here and handle anything that happened in Burma, and then immediately repositioned and was able to respond to Puerto Rico right after Maria. So the Navy Marine Corps team was happy to come here and save lives, coordinate with FEMA, with the governor of Puerto Rico, and to demonstrate our ability to come from the sea, air, and land. Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you, and thank you very much. And, you know, I don't have to even mention the Marines because we have General Kelly. Where's General Kelly? Where is our General Kelly? He likes to keep a low profile. Look at him sitting in the back. But boy, is he watching. You have no idea how he's... General Kelly, come up here. So General Kelly's a four-star. Not a bad general, right? You don't get any better than General Kelly. But on behalf of the Marines, I'll tell you, they've done some job, General. Now, can we also mention Army, and can we also mention some people that I really got to know and respect even more in Texas, and that's the Coast Guard. What a job the Coast Guard has done throughout this whole ordeal. I mean, they would go right into the middle of that. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be doing it. But I want to thank everybody. I want to thank the Coast Guard. They are special, special, very brave people. And a lot of people got to see the real Coast Guard during this incredible trouble. And especially, I think, here and in Texas was incredible what they did. So thank you all very much. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Would you like to say something on behalf of your men and women?
Sure. I'm representing the Air Force.
No, I know that.
Sure. No, it's been a tremendous team effort partnering with FEMA and NORTHCOM, providing support not only to Conus, but then also to the U.S. Virgin Islands and then to Puerto Rico, specifically trying to open up the airfield so that we could get, as an island, to get the majority of the supplies and initially with the people and personnel setting up across the island so we could set up those logistic networks so we could really get to the people that are the most hurt and devastated by the disaster they experienced.
And the runways now are pretty open.
Yes, sir. We got four major runways that are fully open and operational. We've flown about 700 plus strategic air authorities to and from the Conus here on the island of Puerto Rico to provide life-sustaining support.
Amazing job. Yeah. Amazing job. So amazing that we're ordering hundreds of millions of dollars worth of new airplanes for the Air Force, especially the F-35. Do you like the F-35?
It's a game-changing, technological, awesome airplane.
I said, how does it do it in fights? And how do they do in fights with the F-35? He said, we do very well. You can't see it. You literally, you can't see it. So it's hard to fight a plane that you can't see, right?
Sure, we like that.
But that's an expensive plane that you can't see. And as you probably heard, we cut the price very substantially. Something that other administrations would never have done, that I can tell you. So thank you very much. Where is the Coast Guard? Who can speak on behalf of the Coast Guard?
Oh,
who can
here.
Speak? Where is our Coast Guard representative?
Coast Guard Russell right here.
Come here, get over here.
Secretary.
Come here. Come here, my man. On behalf of the Coast Guard, just say a few words.
I don't think there's anything that the men and women of the Coast Guard would rather do than help the people of Puerto Rico, our fellow American citizens. For us, this is what we get to do on a daily basis, and getting to help our fellow citizens is just what our duty is all about. So it's our pleasure to be here, sir.
Well, you know, in Texas, it came in, it did devastation, then went right out into the coast, then it came in and out. It came in three times. It would load up with water and come in. Nobody's ever seen water like that. And the Coast Guard would follow it. It goes in, and they'd be right behind it, and then they'd move. They saved 16,000 lives in Texas. 16, sure. Hard to believe. 16 between the helicopters and all of them. But the Coast Guard itself saved, in Texas, 16,000 lives. And they went right through that hurricane, and there aren't too many people that would have done it, believe me. Would you thank everybody for
yes,
me?
Sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
We also have our Customs and Border Protection all sitting over here.
Say a few words, please. Say a few words. Customs and Border Protection.
Okay.
Say a few words, please. Don't be shy. What I would like to do. You want to stand up? Go ahead. That's okay. Stand up. Go ahead. Okay.
She's only 3 years out.
Okay. You did a great job. Senator, I just want to also add, Rick Perry is here someplace. Rick, governor of Texas for many years, 14 years, did a great job. Head of energy. And Scott Pruitt from Environmental is here. And doing an amazing, really an amazing job. We appreciate it, fellas. Thank you very much. Governor, would you say a few words?
Of course. Well, first of all, Mr. President, thank you for being here. Your presence over here, cabinet members, support the notion that we've been talking about, that this is a united effort. This is a united effort. We need to work together in order to overcome the many challenges that we had here in Puerto Rico. I want to personally thank you, Mr. President, because you know, over the course of the past week, you have called essentially every day to make sure that we have what we need, make sure that the resources are over here. And I want to let the people of Puerto Rico and the people of the United States know that you have always responded to us. And although this is a big challenge, we are convinced that working together with our local government, FEMA, the administrator, the DOD, and all of the assets we have here, it is a challenging time. We need to do more, but we will be able to build Puerto Rico stronger than ever before. That is our commitment. I just wanted to let you know that right now, our forces are working so that they can deliver food, water to the people of Puerto Rico, so that diesel and fuel can get to the hospitals. Now, it is a challenging time. It is a situation without precedent, but with strong leadership, with your continued support, Mr. President, with the continued support of everybody around this table, the mayors that have played a critical role in this development, our legislature that has been helpful, and all of the assets in government, I can tell you, Mr. President, that we will not only come out of this, we will stabilize Puerto Rico, and we will build it stronger than ever. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
That was great.
God bless.
That is so awesome to see our president go in and bring all the resources. You know, General Kelly, all the governor was just talking. That was the governor's wife on the side of the first lady, Melania. Mm-hmm. Probably his daughter, too. I don't know. But the mayors and just everybody's coming together. The Coast Guard, over 16,000 lives rescued. I know we're going to come to the end of this program, but I want you to understand that not only is the nation there, not only is President Trump there with his cabinet and the federal resources, but Operation Blessing is there.
Yes.
Here, bring that camera to me right now. Listen. Operation Blessing is there, and you can actually partner with Operation Blessing and get resources. It's the most instrumental organization for getting volunteers together to be able to impact tragic zones. They've been there in Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma. They've been in Texas, Florida, and now they're in Puerto Rico. As a matter of fact, let's go there. This is what Operation Blessing is doing right now in Puerto Rico.
The situation is hard, it's difficult, and many people lost everything. We have no water, no electricity, but we have to be positive. There's people that have lost everything, and we're still here, and we have the will and the power to continue.
It's been over a week since Hurricane Maria made its devastating landfall in Puerto Rico, crippling the island's infrastructure. They are without electricity, gas, and water, and now food is becoming scarce. With stores closed and no real way to cook food, hunger is a real crisis. Operation Blessing is partnering with one of the first bakeries to reopen after the hurricane and making bread for the people.
Many of these people can prepare their own foods in the house, or because they have no electricity, there's no water, there's no gas. And we have the opportunity to bless these people. And in that way, we feel blessed too. When you see people that have nothing, and you can bring them a little piece of bread, to the children, to refugees, it's really a blessing.
Not only is this bread available at the bakery, but we are also sending loaves to a relief kitchen being run by celebrity chef Jose Andres to support the work he is doing. On top of providing food, Operation Blessing is also working with the mayor of San Juan, distributing solar lights.
It's not a cube of light. It's a cube of hope. It's a blessing, really, in disguise. The way they looked at each other and the way they noticed, and you know what? This is gonna free me. I have a son on my side, and now I can have light in my house. A little kid said, look, Mom, I can read again. Can you imagine? I can read again. But the best thing and the best part was when people just, you look down the street and there's light all over. This is hope and a little cube, so thank you very much. And you know what? I think for me the great takeaway is that nobody called you. No one called you, you just came. Because as David told me, you all have a calling. So thank you. Thank God for using you to give us hope and give us life.
That melts your heart. Thank God for Operation Blessing and Samaritan's Purse. Connect with them. Go to that website. Connect with them. Give. Pray. We thank God for all the ones that are in Operation Blessing, the churches that are volunteering to work with Operation Blessing. And it was the givers to Operation Blessing that made those lights possible for the
Powerful.
People there. And the mayor happened to be there at the particular time. But it's good to see our president totally supporting Puerto Rico in every aspect they needed. And we just want to pray right now for the people of Puerto Rico and also for the families and the victims of this shooting in Las Vegas. Father God, we just lift up all those that are hurting right now in Las Vegas, Nevada, Father God, those that are hurting, Father God, in Puerto Rico and in Texas and in Florida, Father God, and the Mexico and the earthquakes. God, there's so much pain right now. We pray, Lord God, that you would heal the brokenhearted, God, that you would provide water for the thirsty, Lord God, and food for the hungry, Lord God, that you would just fuel people's hearts to touch, to feed into Operation Blessing, the finances and volunteers they need to be able to go and to provide this help and this need at this difficult time, Father God. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, we cry out to you right now, just like John Paul Jackson, like you told him, you said, we would cry out, God, we're crying out to you, Lord God, that you would put an end to all this disaster and that you would turn our hearts back to you. God, we ask you, Lord, end abortion. In these disasters, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.